Welcome to The Way That Leads to Life, a weekly presentation of the Eastside Church of Christ, sharing teaching from God's own word to guide our steps in the way that leads to life.
Well, good morning, and thanks for tuning in to The Way That Leads to Life this morning. I'm Steve Klein. We're great to have you tuning into the program. Beautiful day again here in the Tennessee Valley. Wonderful day to get out and worship our God. He's blessing us in so many ways, and during this spring season, it's great to see all of the, you know, trees coming back into bloom and leafing out and the grass getting green and all that kind of stuff. Looking forward to a beautiful day today. And we invite you to be with us to honor the God who gave us this day. We're going to be worshiping him today at the Eastside Church of Christ. We meet at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. We'll be meeting at 10 o'clock this morning. So come out and be with us. And we'll still be probably social distancing and wearing some masks right now for a couple more weeks anyway. But we'd love for you to come out and be with us to worship God. 10 o'clock this morning, Eastside Church of Christ, 110 French Way. That's in Athens, Alabama. If you're in the Athens area, come and see us. We also have an online broadcast this afternoon at 5, and you're welcome to check that out. It's on Facebook as well as on our website, eastside-church.org. That's eastside-church.org. You can go to that website and click on the media tab and the live streaming to check out our presentation of a lesson from the Bible tonight from Eastside. So anyway, we hope everything's going well around your house today, and thanks for tuning in, and we hope that some things we have to say this morning will benefit you and help you along this way that leads to life. I'm going to start this morning by reading from a pretty well-known text. It's in the book of Acts chapter 2. The Apostle Peter is preaching on that day of Pentecost right after Christ had ascended from the dead about 7 weeks before this, and he had risen from the dead about 7 weeks before this. He descended back to his Father about 10 days before this, and Peter's preaching to a large multitude of Jews who had gathered together for this Feast of Pentecost. And I'm going to pick up sort of toward the end of the sermon. I'm going to go back and touch on a little bit of it in a minute, but one of the things he says in verse 40 says about what he's saying anyway, that with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." I want to tell you, we don't use the word perverse much anymore. Every once in a while, you might hear somebody say, "Well, that's perverse," or "That's perverted," but it's not a word we use anymore. And I wonder why that is, and I want to talk about that with you a little bit this morning. But why was Peter using it? Why did he call the generation in which he was living perverse? Well, let's back up in this lesson a little bit in the sermon in Acts chapter 2, and notice what he has to say in Acts chapter 2 and verse 22 as he addresses his audience. He says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death." So here you've got a generation of people. God sent his son to that generation, and his son lived a perfect life. He went about doing good all over the place. He was healing people, just all kinds of wonderful things. And what did they do? They killed him. They killed him in an unlawful way by, you know, in unfair means, just an excruciating death that he had to endure. And that's perverse. I mean, that's just perverse. You have this really, really good man who's just taken and, in essence, murdered like a common criminal. Peter will go on a little bit later and say in verses 36 and 37, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ." So Peter was laying it on him. He was explaining to them that they'd just done a horrible, a horrendous, a perverse thing. And it was the leaders of the people that were largely responsible for it. You remember the high priests and the high council of the Jews, as well as Pilate, the Roman governor. Here were people who, you know, they didn't care about right and wrong. They cared about maintaining their power. They cared about, you know, oppressing people that were not on their side, that were not supporting them. Sounds a whole lot like today, doesn't it? And so he calls this generation that was so unjust, whose leaders were so corrupt, and who had murdered the Son of God, he calls them perverse. It's a perverse generation. But the thing is, when Peter was telling them this, ultimately a good number of them were bothered by this picture of themselves. He made them sort of look in the mirror and see themselves as they were. And so it says in verse 37 that when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" So they realized just what awful people they were. There's something in this story that I think will help us even today. What kind of people would withhold food from someone who can't feed herself and allow her to starve to death? What kind of people would do that? What kind of society raises children who walk into schools with weapons killing teachers and their fellow students? What kind of society does that? What kind of a nation is it in which known pedophiles and sex offenders are released from prison and allowed to walk free to molest children? What kind of society is that? What's the society that we're living in? It's a society that we're living in. It's the same society in which religion has become entertainment, and entertainment has become our God. I mean, we just live in our culture, it seems to me, for entertainment. We're living in a society that sees the breakup of Kanye and Kim, or whoever gets voted out on American Idol, or whoever wins a basketball game, we see those things as highly important, newsworthy, things we'll talk about, things we'll focus on. That's a big deal in our society. But we have a judicial system that says that a man is free to practice his own religion. We have freedom of religion in this country. But why we say that, we're not allowed to talk about our religion or pray in school or in a workplace. That's not freedom of religion, is it? And we're living in a society in which the most vulgar words imaginable are spewed out on radio stations and music that's available on the internet or whatever. And yet that stuff is protected by freedom of speech. I can't talk in certain places in this country about my faith, but people can utter these vulgar words. We had a young man die, and I don't rejoice in his death, whatever. We had a young man die this last week. He's known as DMX, and he's a popular musician, apparently, and he's being lauded and praised. He's making the nightly news. There's a lot being put out on the internet about him. Well, the words to his songs are just some of the most vulgar words you can ever imagine. He repeatedly uses the F word, the N word, a whole bunch of other really bad words, and words that should not be accepted in our society at all. Words that if I use them right now, people would be all over me. And should be. And yet here we have people in our society who are musical heroes, and they're celebrated. We allow messed up young people like this musician and others to have the fortune and the forums and the fame so that they can spread their depraved and tortured thinking to our children. That's the society that we're living in. It's a culture that perverts human sexuality into a means of selling music and clothes and cars and fast food, and then wonders why so many of our citizens are sexually perverted. That's the society that we're living in. And to say, if Peter called his generation a perverse generation, then I think from a biblical standpoint, we've gone beyond being a perverse generation. That's the world that we're living in. In every aspect of our society, the illogical and the immoral can be observed everywhere you lurk, everywhere you look. The hypocritical is all over the place. You don't have to go very far to see it, whether you're talking about in politics or the news media or people who are supposed to be Christians, people in our schools, some of our school leaders, all over the place. And please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying every last single solitary person in this nation is a vile sinner. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I am saying we're living in a perverse generation. If Peter was, we are for sure. We've gone far beyond the kinds of things that Peter was addressing there in Acts 2. The Bible uses the word perverse in a number of places, and it simply means to turn away purposefully, to turn away from what is right and good. It's the definition of perversity. And to twist what is good into something that is vile and evil, that's perversity. So with that being the reality that we're living in, and we're trying on this program to think about positive things and to try to learn to walk the way that leads to life, what is a person who is trying to walk the way that leads to life, what are we to do? What are we to do living in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, as Paul calls it in Philippians chapter 2? Well, the first thing I think we need to understand we got to do is we got to be saved from it. We can't be a part of it. We can't let it, you know, completely spoil our souls and our eternities as well. We want to be saved from this crooked and perverse generation. And the great news is that's the news of the gospel. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, to save the vilest of sinners. Jesus Christ came into the world as a light into darkness. And we are living in a dark world, but Jesus is the light. He came to bring us grace so that we don't have to be perverse as the world may be, that we can be holy and righteous through his marvelous sacrifice for us, through the blood that he shed for us to forgive us of our sins, and the fact that he loves us and gives us motivation to love him and to love our fellow man. We can escape this perverse generation. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4, it talks about Jesus, and it says that he gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. Jesus came to deliver us from this mess, this perverse society that we're living in. And again, that's what Peter's getting to in Acts chapter 2. Let me remind you of what he said then in verse 40. With many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. That's what God wants for you. He wants you to be saved from this perverse generation. All the ugliness and the immorality and the vile attitudes and the hypocrisy that we see in this world, the injustice, it's all over the place. We don't have to be a part of that, and we can be saved from it through the wonderful grace of God, because he sent his Son to die for our sins. And right here in Acts 2, then, people who heard Peter preach this sermon and understood that they had been part of a perverse generation, it says in the next verse that those that gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, 3,000 souls were added to them. Those people did what Peter said to do in Acts 2 and verse 38. They repented and they were baptized for the remission of their sins. Remission is forgiveness. God will forgive you of all of this. You just need to believe in his Son, turn away from the sin, change your mind about it. That's what repentance is. Be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. That's what Peter meant when he said, save yourselves from this perverse generation. And that's what those people did in order to save themselves from that generation. In Colossians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is writing to people who also had been saved from the generation that they were living in, filled with evil and perversity. And he writes to them in Colossians 1 and verse 13, and he talks about how God has delivered us out of the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. We've been delivered from the domain of darkness, from this evil world that Satan holds sway over. So the first thing that we need to think about doing if we're wanting to be saved from this perverse generation is to go to Jesus and be saved from this. Jesus offers us that opportunity. Believe in him. Repent of your sins. Be baptized. That's exactly what the people in Acts chapter 2 did. That's what we still need to do today. And then once you've done that, you're still a Christian who's living in a world that's, again, according to the scriptures, it's evil. It's a world that's Satan holds sway over. It's a world that is perverse. So you still live in this world as long as you're alive. You know, you're living in a world that is filled with evil. So how do you deal with that? Well, one of the things that we need to understand if we are Christians is that we need to expect to be oppressed. The evil world does not take kindly to people who are saved from it, to people who are striving to live holy lives. And so if that's you this morning, and you have obeyed the gospel and through faith become a child of God and have your had your sins washed away in the blood of the Lamb, if that's you this morning, you can't expect the world to be nice to you. They're not going to be. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 2, the wise man said that he who walks in uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is perverse in his ways despises him. See, people who are perverse in their ways, in all of the ways that we've described and more, people that are perverse in their ways, that do evil things, that don't follow God's will in their lives, they don't really like people that are following God's will, and they don't like God. A lot of them deny that God exists. A lot of them question things that he's done as if they're God and they get to judge God. You know, that's a lot that's going on in the world today. Our world is so perverse, we think that we can sit in judgment on God. If you can even imagine that, the creature judging his creator as if, well, God, you didn't do this right. You know, this is not how I would have done it. Well, you're not God. God is God. But my point is that this world is filled with evil folks who don't like God and who don't like God's people. And so we need to expect oppression, because that's what we're going to get if we're striving to walk the way that leads to life, if we're trying to escape this present evil world. Over in the book of the Epistle of 1 Peter in our New Testaments, the Apostle Peter writes 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 3, he says, "We've spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness and lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you." So people who've escaped this present evil world are people who they don't go out and practice lewd behavior anymore. You know, you won't catch them twerking on the stage at some awards show. You know, that's not going to happen if you're someone who's escaping this present evil world. You don't engage in lewdness, and that's what that is, lewdness, or drunkenness, or revelries, which are wild parties, or you don't go to drinking parties. You don't do those things. And when people see that you're not doing those things, you know what they're going to do? They think it's strange that you don't run with them in the same. Why don't you go ahead and have a drink? Why don't you go ahead and go to this wild party? Why don't you go ahead and do the vulgar things that we're seeing portrayed on, you know, television and in the movies on a regular basis? Why don't you do those things? Well, because you've been saved from this present evil world and you're trying to live a holy life to please the God of heaven and walk the way that leads to life, but the world's not going to like it. And just as Peter said, they're going to speak evil of you. But you know the next thing he says, they speak evil of you now, but they're going to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. They're going to answer for that to God someday. We just need to be patient and persevere in doing what is right, no matter what the world around us may be doing. We talk a lot today about cancel culture, and one of the things that our current culture would like to cancel is Christianity, those that are striving to walk the way that leads to life. They're trying to cancel a lot of other things as well, but that's one of the things folks are attempting to cancel. In Psalm 37 and verse 32, you know, that's not a new thing, really. The text says that the wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. Yeah, you know, the wicked folks would just like to do away with people who are righteous, people who are doing the right thing. They don't want to hear about it. They don't want to see it. They don't want that to be part of this culture anymore. And so that's the ultimate cancellation, right? The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. I want you to understand this morning that God sees all of this. He is very much aware of it, and he will deal with it. Back in the book of Habakkuk was also living in a time when people were not good. In fact, a lot of people who are supposed to be God's people were perverse in Habakkuk's day. And I want to go back and read from Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 2. And this is Habakkuk crying out to the Lord and describing the day and time in which he lived. He says, "Oh Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? And cry out to you violence and you will not save? Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention that arises. Therefore the law is powerless and justice never goes forth, for the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore perverse judgment proceeds." That the world of Habakkuk, he's describing his world. He's also describing our world, isn't he? You know, where it's a world where there's all kinds of trouble. There's all kinds of violence. There's contention, there's strife all over the place. It seems like the law is powerless to do what is actually just for people by and large. That's the world that Habakkuk was living in. And he's pleading to God to do something about it. God answers Habakkuk in this text, and I won't go ahead and read all of it, but he answers Habakkuk in this text, and he basically tells him, "I am going to do something about it. These wicked people that you're living among, I'm going to have the Babylonians come and wipe them out." And so God did do something about it in Habakkuk's day. And he may do something about the perverse generation in which we live as well. In Proverbs 11 and verse 20, the wise man there says that those who are of a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord. An abomination is a thing that's truly hated. God hates those who are of a perverse heart. I know it's hard for you to think about, well, God doesn't hate anybody. Well, he loves everybody in the sense that he sent his son to die for everybody. Doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. He loves us all in that sense. But this text says that those who are of a perverse heart, who just turned over to evil, who are against that which is good, who are taking good things and twisting them and making them into evil things, those kinds of people who are, you know, just all over the world today, they're an abomination to the Lord. But the blameless in their ways are his delight, the text says, Proverbs 11 and verse 20. God will see to it, I want you to understand, God will see to it that the perverse will not succeed in the end, and much of the time they're going to bring pain and trouble on themselves. In Proverbs 22 and verse 5, the text says that thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse, but he who guards his soul will be far from them. So let's guard our souls and let's stay away from the perverse. In Psalm 37, the psalmist talks an awful lot about this issue. He talks about a world in which, you know, evil is just all over the place and good people are being oppressed, and it seems like the evil folks are prospering and they're the ones in power and they're the ones who have the money and the say-so and all of that. And it's a lot like our world today that's described in Psalm 37. But in Psalm 37 and verse 12, the psalmist says that the wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth, but the Lord laughs at him. That is, the Lord laughs at the wicked. And here's why. Because he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword, they've bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy. They slay those who are of upright conduct. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. So what the picture is here of wicked folks who are just tooth and toenail against good folks, against the poor, against the needy, those who are oppressed, those who need a break in life, they're continuing to oppress them. And then they're also against those who are upright in conduct, who are striving to live lives that are not lives of lewdness and lust and drunkenness and dishonesty and oppression. They're not living lives like that. The upright aren't. And the wicked are against them. And yet what this passage assures us is that what goes around comes around, and what they're trying to do to others will eventually happen to them. Ultimately, victory will belong and does belong to the righteous. In Proverbs 14 and verse 19, the evil will bow before the good and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. In this world, ultimately, it may not seem like it now. People talk about being on the wrong side of history. You know, if you're not going along with their progressive and evil programs, you're on the wrong side of history. We're told that a lot. But let me tell you something. History is not over with until God says it is. And when God comes in judgment upon the evil and the perverse, that's when history will be over with. And we'll see who's on the wrong side of history when that happens. The God of justice will show it to us. The Apostle Paul anticipates it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 4. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 4, he talks about how God's people are oppressed, but how that they will receive justice, and God will not allow evil and oppression to win the day in eternity. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4, he's talking about those who oppress, this is 2 Thessalonians, I should say, chapter 1 and verse 4, they oppress God's people. And he commends the people of God for your patience and faith and all the persecutions and tribulations that you endure. God's people enduring tribulations and persecutions. That's what he's talking about. He said, that's a manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. When wicked people and perverse people try to oppress the people of God, try to limit our freedoms, try to restrict us from worshiping our God and spreading his word like it needs to be spread, when that happens, all they're doing is storing up God's wrath and indignation for themselves. Because what the Bible says in this text is that it's a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble his people. God will give you who are troubled, that is, his people, he will give them rest when the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, God is going to make it all right in the end. And so what we're pleading this morning is for you, if you're living in this present evil world, to want to and try to be saved from it. Be saved from it. Don't go along with it. Don't go along with it. Don't think that you have to, have fellowship, have association, be supportive of causes and ideas and movements in our culture that are evil. You don't have to do that. We need to choose our friends carefully. The way of the wicked will lead us astray. God wants us to become, Philippians 2 and verse 15 says, blameless and harmless children of light without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. That's who we need to be. Without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. We're going to be holding forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to be telling people what God's word says to our last breath. Doesn't matter how evil the world gets, how perverse it may be and how perverse it is, how much oppression they may bring to bear upon us. Our goal, if we are truly Christians, if we're truly striving to walk the way that leads to life, is to speak God's word, to speak it with boldness, to tell the truth about right and wrong, justice and injustice, morality and immorality, to speak God's word on these matters. Let's be lights in the world. Let's walk the way that leads to life. I thank you so much for, again, tuning into the broadcast today. We hope that you have a good day serving God. We, again, invite you to be with us at the Eastside Church of Christ, 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama, 10 o'clock this morning. We'd love to see you. As you live this week, continue to strive to walk the way that leads to life.
You've been listening to The Way That Leads to Life, presented by the Eastside Church of Christ, meeting at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. Come visit us this morning at 9 o'clock or this evening at 5 o'clock as we assemble for worship. Also, join us for Wednesday Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. For free audio or video of the Bible lessons taught at Eastside.